It's good to be in the Lord's house this evening, amen. And we had a good trip down, safe trip down, and thank God we're out of the snow. As we had said, December was a record snowfall, 96 inches in December alone. I think we're somewhere around 160 inches of snow for a year. So I just shoveled my roof off for the third time. And we have to shovel snow off the roof so we don't have roof collapse. And the snow, the ice was so deep that I had yesterday. I was up on the roof beating the ice, trying to break the ice. And the ice was that thick on the roof. I had water leaking in from the ice van. So, but thank God for Florida. Amen. Privilege to be able to be here. And just a little bit about the year started out really on a roar. I mean, we have been very busy. I was in the Philippines for 2 weeks, 11 days, back in January. And we saw over 100 people saved over there. And I was there 6 years ago and helping the man that I went to see this year with starting the first church that he started over there. Well, now he's got three churches established. And each of those are pastored by a national pastor now. And they're getting ready to start the fourth church next month. And so I had the privilege to do some soul winning for that and preach in those other churches. And just a great, great time over there. The highlight of it for me was we had seen 6 years ago, I led an 80-year-old lady to the Lord. She lived in a little tiny shack in a fishing village. If you'd see these little fish ponds where they raise fish to be able to subsist. Their average income is about $3 a day there.
Wow.
And they raise these fish. Well, there's little dividers between the ponds, and each person owns different ponds. And they have to keep an eye on them, or people will steal the fish. Well, they built their little hut on this berm in between two of the ponds. The berm is only about 5 or 6 feet wide. Their little house was about 4 feet wide by 8 feet long. And this 80-year-old lady and her daughter lived in it. I led the 80-year-old lady to the Lord, and the guy that was with me led the daughter to the Lord. Well, I got to see them again this year when we were there. She's 86 years old, still in church, been faithful to church. And for them to break off and leave the Roman Catholic faith and begin to take a stand for God is a big thing, especially when you're up there in years like that, because all your family's looking to you and everything. But Brother Griffin, the missionary over there, he told me, he said, you know, the daughter has been the greatest blessing of anybody since I've been in the Philippines. He said she has brought more people to Christ than anybody that I have been associated with in the Philippines. Amen. He said 2 years ago on our anniversary Sunday, she brought over 100 visitors to church on anniversary Sunday. And he said she's continually winning people to Christ. And who, you know, who would think a little tiny 4 foot by 8 foot, and by the way, the shack was built out of one by one slat wood. That's what the little shack was. So just tremendous. You go there, you see what's happening, and you see how those people have nothing, but they've got a great love for the Lord. Great love for the Lord. We're spoiled rotten over here, and we sure, I believe we lack in our love for the Lord. We're just it's a different society, different mentality. But it is good to be here. Good to have my wife with me, and I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. I know all those some things have been going on this past week or so. I told Preacher, I said, you know, 2 weeks ago I was praying about this, and I know I was going to be here, and I was praying, and I've been praying about what the Lord would have me to preach. The Lord laid a message on my heart, and I said, you know what, I think I know why He laid it on my heart now, and I said, I'm not going to change it, because I know that's what the Lord wanted, so I'm going to preach what He told me to preach a couple weeks ago, and even in the midst of what you're going through, I think you'll understand, the Lord knows what's happening. He knows exactly what's happening. And man, this didn't take him by surprise.
No.
And he's still on the throne, and everything's okay, man. Everything's all right. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, while you're turning there, I just want to say that I believe that this just might be the most difficult command in the Word of God to keep. And you say, the most difficult command, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yep. Most difficult command in the Word of God to keep. And we find it in verse number 18. in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. You say, you really believe that's the most difficult? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because when we're on the mountain, everything's all right.
Right.
But when things start getting shook up, when we get down the valley and everything, then all of a sudden everything seems to change in our life. There's no reason for it to change.
That's right.
We need to continue to just give God thanks on the mountain or in the valley, no matter where it's at. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was preaching in Kansas a few years ago, and preaching in a fairly big church there, and they had a big, we had a revival meeting going on. It was Monday night, you know, when I preached Sunday, Monday night, and a Tuesday morning, they had a big pastor's fellowship. They had 20-some different pastors that were coming in, and a lot of people were coming in Monday night to spend the night, and then they were going to be there for the pastor's fellowship and all. And so a lot of things happened, a lot of things going on, and I was there in the church doing some studying on Monday at about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and they said that some storms would be blowing through and passing through, and out there in Kansas, really, truly, you do get some storms. I mean, they get some pretty wild storms out there. And so anyways, I'm in there doing some studying, and all of a sudden I hear this zip, zip, and it's like, you know right away what it is if you've been around electricity, y'all. There's something about to blow. Boom! There went the panel, and the next room over went, blew. Well, that wasn't the problem. The problem was a great big transformer had blown, which had caused that to blow also. But what happened was this big transformer blew in between. They have a small college there. In between the college and the dormitories, the girls' dormitories, this transformer blew. The power lines dropped out and everything. And so anyway, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be mass chaos. We got about an hour, hour and a half before all these people are going to be here. I mean, their church alone runs 200 or 300, and they got all these other people coming in. And so I'm thinking, man, this preacher is going to be going out of his mind trying to figure this thing out. Well, there's some people over there that were working on trying to get things back in order, but when they found out the transformer blew, what they knew, they were in, you know, no way we're going to get this thing. I mean, there was a fire going on between the dormitory and the girls' dormitory and the college building. Well, they had a prayer meeting set up for 6 o'clock. This happened about 5. And so I'm thinking, you know, how are they going to do this, man? If they got any power or anything, their church building, their auditorium had no outside windows, so they could get no light from the outside or anything. And so they were scrambling and trying to get some candles and things like that, you know, and good thing the fire department wasn't there, amen. But at 6 o'clock, we had that prayer meeting. They postponed it just a little bit. And so the preacher got everybody together, and he said, well, we're going to, you know, I said, well, what are you going to do? You know, we're going to cancel it. No, we're going to cancel the meeting. You know, and he was just as calm as could be. And he told everybody, he said, now I know things are going to be a little bit different. He said, we'll work through this thing. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm thinking, this is going to be interesting how he pulls this thing off. Well, he breaks everybody up into prayer groups. And the prayer group that he said, why don't you come with us? And I prayed with him and 2 other men. And I'll never forget that time of prayer, preacher. We knelt down to pray. And my mind is spinning. I'm thinking, I don't know how in the world they're going to pull this thing off. And that preacher about 9, he said, let me pray first, then you guys can pray because I may have to get up and leave. He knelt down, closed his eyes, bowed his head, and he said, dear Lord, I want to thank you for this storm. First words out of his mouth. I want to thank you for this storm. Lord, I want to thank you for that power line going down. What? Yeah. I want to thank you for the things that you brought our way, that you allowed to happen, because I know you're in charge of everything. Man, he just went on praying. That is the epitome of what this passage is trying to teach us. What? In everything. In the midst of the storm? Absolutely. Power line being down? Absolutely. Not going to be able to. Hey, listen, man, we gathered together that night. I tell everybody, I said, it was like on the candle side of the world, it was like a Baskin and Robbins 31 flavor smell or whatever, man. I mean, every scent alive, man. I preached by candlelight that night. They had candles right there. That's how I preached that night. But we went on, the show went on. What do you mean? Hey, God isn't handicapped by the things that happen around about us, man. We just keep trusting Him and give that some of your children had to go through, and the promises that you give. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us. Lord, you know the things that are happening and the behind the scenes and the situation this church has. And Father, I just pray that you would do the work that only you can do. Lord, I pray that this church would continue to praise your name and lift you up and win souls and do the thing that you give them to do. And Lord, just let you take care of the other business. And Father, thank you again for loving us and bringing us together here tonight. Thank you for this dear pastor and the church that's opened their doors to them to have services tonight. And I pray again that you'd help us to get to the place where we can just thank you for the storm. We'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you four simple little thoughts tonight. Grab your Bible and turn back, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And let me just say this first of all. There's four things that I think that we need to thank God about in the storm. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We'll begin to read some verses here, but here's the thought, simply this. Thank God for His purpose and His providence in the storm. I'm going to tell you what. God has a purpose in every storm that comes our way or comes into our life. No matter what it is, no matter how deep it is, no matter how shallow it might be, there's a purpose behind every storm that we face in life. He says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, everything has a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, that he exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Amen. And notice what it goes on to say here. It says in verse 12, I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. You don't understand that everything that comes into our life, everything that comes our way in our life, we know that it at least has this purpose. What's that, Brother Mark? That we would fear Him. That we would be drawn into the right, proper fear and respect of Almighty God. God is the one who allows the things to come into our life.
Amen.
If we don't believe that, then we don't believe He's omnipotent.
All right.
And we sure believe He's omnipotent tonight, and He has allowed the things to come our way. God does have a purpose in every storm that comes our way, even though sometimes we won't know why. That's the hard times. Well, we don't know exactly why. I mean, I was thinking about some things that happened in our life, and I was thinking about when our youngest daughter, Rebecca, when my wife was pregnant with her, we were told after about 4 months, we were called up. My wife just reminded me about this the other day. She said, you remember when they called us in, when they called and said, we need to talk to both of you. The doctor did. And he sat us down and he said, there's some complications with the baby. And it looks as though, from what best we can tell, your baby may not even be born alive. And if the baby is born alive, there's going to be some severe complications. This baby could be brain dead, could be Down syndrome, or could be born dead. And they wanted to go in and do an amniocentesis, and we said, what was the purpose behind that? And they said, just so that we can help you to be better prepared. And we cried, and we talked about it, and we said, no, that's okay. We're just going to trust God and whatever God wants to do. And we had people praying all over everywhere. We prayed, we begged God, and all the way through, they were doing these tests, and they were saying, there's going to be problems, there's going to be complications, there's going to be problems. That little baby girl was born, and there was not one thing wrong.
Amen.
Not one thing. You say, well, what was the purpose of that storm, Brother Mark? The only thing that I can figure is that God just wanted us to refocus on Him.
Amen.
He just wanted us to get our focus back on
Him. That's good.
Amen. Man, when God lets things come into our life and the storms come our way, it's not time to get upset at God because the storm. our little sweet niece, Amy, passed away 27 years later. Boy, the storm that came into her life. We're not going to know in this life the total purpose of that. In heaven one day, we may get to see why.
Amen.
And I know there was a lot of people that were won to the Lord and pointed to Christ because of her and her life. Maybe more so than some of us that have lived our whole lives out. And maybe that just, that was God said it's time, it's done. But we don't know the purpose behind it. But you know what? It's not time to get upset at God.
Amen.
Not time to get mad at God. It's time to just keep thanking Him in the middle of the storm. No matter what it is. Amen. Amen. I think about when I was a little boy, situation with my father, and I shared my testimony here before. Very abusive daddy, very tough situation growing up. I mean, it was hard, it was rough. You look back and you say, Brother Martin, why do you think God allowed you to go through that storm in your childhood? Well, one of the reasons I know is because anything He allows into our life, He uses it to make us and shape us who He wants us to be.
Amen.
But the greatest reason why? It caused me to turn to Him at a very young age and look to Him. The greatest purpose was just to refocus on Him. Amen. Look back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Look at, we'll see a storm the disciples were in here. Now, this was the storm when Peter walked on the water to go to the Lord. But notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him on the other side while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When even was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I mean, they're in the middle of a storm here. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Man, that's very important right there. Why? Hey, Jesus is always there for you and I. You're saved, born again, a child of God. He ain't leaving you. He's there for you. And the storm that they were going through, says when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. What was the purpose of that storm? What really was the true purpose of that storm? One thing we can gather for sure out of it, He was trying to get them to focus on Him.
Amen.
When He had Peter step out of the boat, it was all about, listen, if Peter would have kept his eyes on the Lord, I have not one doubt he'd have walked all the way to Him and they'd have walked back together.
Amen.
But he took his eyes off of Him in the storm. And how many times do you and I do the same thing? You know, we sit here and complain about the storm all you want to.
Yeah,
but it ain't going to change it. There's only one person that's got control of it. Amen. So you just look to Him. You just thank Him. And you just keep on going forward. Amen.
Amen.
That's all we can do. Trust Him. Sometimes it's just to refocus on Him. So I said, first of all, thank God for His purpose or His providence in the storm. And then secondly, let me give you this one. Look back in Mark chapter 4. Here's a different storm on the disciples are in Mark chapter number 4. And I want you to notice what it says here in verse number 35. It says, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over on the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? To me, I think that's one of the greatest verses on the humor of God. What do you mean? Looking at these disciples. But these disciples come running to Jesus, God in the flesh, and shake Him and say, listen, you better wake up because we're going to die. With Jesus right there with you, do you really think that it was going to be? But it says, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now listen, the second thing I think we need to do is thank God not only for His purpose and providence, but secondly, for His protection.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. And sometimes we don't even understand the protection of God that's going on in the storm around us. And how He is protecting us from the things that are happening. I was thinking about so many times the storms of life that we've been through and how God has protected us through those things. And how God has shown His protection. I was thinking about how one time I was on my way back from North Carolina heading up to Michigan. It was about this time of the year. It was in February. And boy, when you get up into Michigan, usually, southern Michigan got hit real hard this year. Usually they don't get as much as what we get up there. Usually you get about up to mile mark 200 up in the state, and then all of a sudden, here comes the snow. Here comes this time of year, there's just always lake effect snow and everything. And so I've been traveling from North Carolina all the way on a 16-hour trip, and I'm getting almost home, and I've had a great day in the Lord, just praying and praising Him and listening to some music, some good CDs and things. And so I'm getting almost home, and this snow started blowing all over everywhere, and it was blizzard-like conditions, whiteout conditions, and I'm trying to keep my eyes on the road and everything. I'm flipping my brights and my low beams back and forth, seeing how which one I can see better with and everything. And every now and then the road would clear up a little bit, and I get to the last place where I have to pass under a road. There's an overpass there, and I'm getting just about to that, and I'm looking at it, and it looks like there's water underneath the overpass. And so I'm touching my brakes, and I'm slowing down. I'm still driving probably 55 miles an hour, and so I just touch my brakes a little bit as I get to that water, but I realize it wasn't water. It was water, but it was frozen water. It was ice. And as soon as I hit that ice, all of a sudden, the car started going sideways. And man, I'm trying to turn that thing back around. And right away, I mean, I've already been talking with the Lord all day long. I just said, Lord, please, you got to help me. And I'm turning the wheels. And if you've been on ice and spinning on ice before, you know you can do what you want to, but it's in the Lord's hands. Amen. And so I'm trying to turn it. And Lord, please, you got to help me. About that time, it caught. And that thing started swinging back around. And man, I'm starting to shout glory. And it comes around and it swings all the way back this way. And now I'm going down the road sideways this way. God knows this is the truth. And so now I'm going down the road this way, and I'm trying to write the thing again, and Lord, please help me. And it spun back around all the way the other way again. And I was back and forth, fishtailing all the way back and forth across the road. And so all of a sudden, it's slowing down a little bit, and I look like I'm going to crash off the side of the road here. I said, Lord, you got to help me. You know those times in your life when the storms are there, and you just don't even know what to pray.
Amen.
But just call His name out.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all Peter did. Mm-hmm. Lord, save me. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any flowery prayer or anything. He didn't. Lord, save me. Just recognizing who God was and the authority that He had. And so I just said, Lord, you got to help me.
Amen.
And it was as if the Lord took the car and set it down on the pillow. Honest to goodness. There was no shaking, jerking, anything. I went right off the edge of the road, the side of the road there, into the snow. And the snow was probably, at least thigh high, maybe a little bit more. Man, as soon as it rested, came to a rest, I just bowed my head on the steering wheel and I said, Lord, thank you so much. God, thank you for protecting me. And I started to open my eyes, and when I did, I caught a glare of something. And I look up and there's a light flash. And I realize it's a big old truck. It's a tow truck. This tow truck is backing up to me. And then all of a sudden, I see red lights going around. And it's a state trooper. And the state trooper's backing up. I haven't even tried to get out of the car yet or anything. And so I roll the window down, to see what the snowbank's like. And I say, well, I think I can push the snow open. Well, the state trooper gets in behind me, and I just barely get the door pushed open. The state trooper says, hey, hold on, wait a minute, buddy. He said, you know what? He said, I think we can get you right there. Just stay right there. And I said, okay. So I shut the door. Man, the guy comes around. He looks up to me, pulls me out of the snowbank.
I get out of the vehicle. State trooper says, "How's that for service?" I said, "How much I owe you?" The guy said, "Nothing." He pulled me out. I was back on the road in 3 minutes from the time that I went to that bank. God's protecting hand over my life. Protecting and keeping me safe. What are you saying, Brother Mark? I'm saying, man, when the storms come, not only do we need to make sure that we thank Him for His providence and for His purpose in the storm, but we need to thank Him for His protection in the storm, too. You know, and sometimes the storms that come into our life, we don't understand, again, the purpose behind it. We can't even see how it is that the Lord is protecting us from things. Amen. I was thinking about how so many times that in the fire department, being a firefighter, 15 years in the fire department, man, there was at least 3 separate occasions where I should have died. There's no question about it. You look at the situation, you look what happened, and my life should have been over. But for the protection of Almighty God.
Amen.
Man, when the storms come into our life, just thank Him for the storm. Thank Him for His purpose in the storm, and thank Him for His protection in the storm. Look over to Isaiah 25 real quick. I love this passage. Isaiah chapter 25. Notice what it says here. Hey, I'm just trying to encourage you a little bit tonight. Well, everything's all right. Everything's okay, man. So there's a storm going on. Hey, you know what? I told preacher tonight, right before we walked in here, I said, you know what? I said, if there's no storms going on in your life, if there's no turmoil, if there's no trials going on in your life, then you're not walking very close to the Lord.
Amen.
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 That I have lived and found that to be so true. Man, if you're just coasting, something's wrong. You ain't in the battle. Amen. If there's storms, if there's tribulation, if there's trial, it's there for a purpose, and God's got it there. Just thank Him and keep going forward. Amen.
Amen.
Here it says in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For Thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear Thee. Notice verse 4. For Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. But he's saying, thank God for His protection from the enemy. The greatest enemy that you and I have is the fallen one who wants to keep you and I from going forward and accomplish anything for God.
Amen. Amen.
But the second greatest enemy of God is our own flesh.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Martin. It's our own flesh. Why? Because when things start coming into our life, this flesh will jump on board with Satan. And then go back in your spirit and say, yeah, see that? Yeah. You know what, Neil? Listen, tell your flesh to shut up and go back to the ground where it came from.
Amen.
And realize that you've got a born-again spirit in you that God wants to work in and God wants to help you to go forward. In the midst of storms and trials, that's going to be there. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There are many afflictions of righteousness, but the Lord delivered them out of all. Amen. And the thing's going to be here, but thank God. Thank God for His purpose. Thank God for His providence. Thank God for His protection in the storm. But thirdly, let me just say this. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I love this passage in the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus was speaking to the multitudes that were following after Him. And a few years ago, I had the privilege to be there, right there on Mount Beatitude, where this took place. And just to think of those thousands of so-called disciples that were there following Jesus as He spoke to them. But He gave them a promise here. Notice what it says in verse number... chapter 6 and verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given. But thirdly, let me just say this, simply this. Thank God for his provision. Not only for his provision, not only for his protection, but thank God for his provision. I mean, for how he provides for us when we're going through the struggles and the battles and the trials of life. And my mind has to go running back as I think about going into the ministry. And as a 38-year-old man, I'm 15 years in the fire department. I had 5 years military time. I was 5 years from retiring with a pension. And the Lord called and opened the door to go into ministry. And I took my wife and my 5 children, and we went to the camp, worked in a camp ministry. Tim knows all about it down in West Virginia. And we had no salary, and we had no support. When we first went into the ministry, after a month or two, our home church took us on for support, and then another church took us on for support, and then one more took us on for support. And we had about $300 a month that we lived on in the first year in the ministry. But God was so good to us.
Amen.
God was so faithful. God provided our needs and God took care of us. Sure, there were some storms that we had to face as we stepped out to trust the Lord. If you're going to accomplish anything for God, you're going to face some storms in your life.
Amen.
Why? Because God's going to bring you through them.
Amen.
He's going to let them come. Why? So that you can turn to Him and trust Him greater. Amen. This is the biggest I've seen Victory Baptist Church in the few years I've been coming down here. Biggest group of people I've seen. You let a little storm come in your life and turn things up, but man, God wants to do something.
Amen.
God's looking to do bigger and greater things if we just keep our eyes on Him in the storm. You thank Him for His provision in the storm. As I said, going into the ministry and so many different things happened. Just I've told some stories here before, but you know what? When we first went down there, I told the story about my wife and how that she struggled with going and she didn't want to sell the house because we just remodeled the house, put a 500 square foot addition on it, resided the house, put a driveway, everything, put central air, and everything was just the way she wanted it. And so she was clinging to that and just, you know, this is my security and this is, you know, Lord, I don't want to let go of it. I don't want to let go. And I didn't know she was doing that. I thought she was trying to sell the house while I was going back and forth to the camp and coming back during the weekends. And so finally, after about 5 weeks of that, she calls me on the phone on a Monday morning after I got back to the camp late Sunday night. And she was crying on the phone and she said, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And I said, sorry about what? And she said, I didn't want to let go of the house. I've been holding on to it. I've been saying, you know, this is my only security. I got to hold on to this. I got God. No, I don't want to let go of it. I don't want to. And she said, God's been tearing me up about that. And she said, finally, 3:30 this morning, I got out of bed and I couldn't sleep. And I knelt down beside the bed and I said, okay, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. That's what you want. It's yours. Take it. 8 o'clock that morning, we got a phone call and somebody bought the house. You figure that one out. 4.5 hours after she knelt down and said, okay, Lord, you don't think God was showing His provision for us and how He was going to take care of us if we just trust Him? When we went down there, it didn't look like we were going to be able to, they supposedly had a house for us to stay in. But when we got there, the house wasn't there. They didn't have a house for us. So I had to start looking for a house to stay in. And the first thing I found, ladies, you'll love this one. You can relate with my wife. First house, I said, Lord, whatever you give us, whatever, Lord, I know you want it. And by the way, the naysayers right away, oh, see, it's not God's will. It's not God's will for you to go. It's not God's will for you to be down there and all that. Just because a little storm comes along? I don't think so. I know what God's doing in my heart. Amen. So, this first house that came along, ladies, for a family of 700 square feet. I know you're laughing saying you wouldn't do that to your wife. Hey, I said, Lord, you provide us something. Give us something. Before we signed for that house,
somebody said, you know, there's that big old farmhouse. And that house was like 9 miles away from the camp. We only had one vehicle. This lady came to me and she said, that house, that big old farmhouse right on the, it's only a half a mile from the camp. And it's been caught up in an airship, but you never know. You know, if you go down and talk with him or call him or something, maybe. You know, people have tried to rent it, but nobody, they haven't let anybody in for 4 years now. Anyway, I called him. I said, man, I ain't too proud to call. So I called. I talked to the lady, and I got talking with her, told her my story a little bit and everything. Told her what I was looking for. You know, we're just looking for a place for my family to come and to stay. And she goes, you know, this is in an airship right now, and we had decided we were not going to allow anybody to rent the house or anything. And she said, but you know, I don't understand it, but for some reason, I just feel like the Lord wants you all to be in that house. She was a saved lady. And I said, I didn't want to tell her that I didn't have any income. And so she said, well, you know, maybe we can go ahead and do that. I said, well, wait a minute, ma'am. I said, you know what, I guess it's going to depend on how much you're going to want for it. I don't know how much you're going to charge for it. And she goes, well, I don't know. You know, she said, is $200 a month too much? This is like 2,500 square foot home. She said, $200 a month too much? I said, $200 a month? And she said, oh, is that too much? She said, you know what? You're just getting down here and everything. You probably just trying to get going and everything. You know what? There's some things that need fix and repair. Why don't you just go ahead and move in and work on some of those repairs, and we'll talk about it later on. Yeah. We moved into that house, preacher. I didn't pay anything for the first 3 or 4 months we lived in the house. Wow. You tell me there's not a God in heaven that provides in the storms of life that we go through? Yeah. And we need to thank Him for being such a wonderful Father to us and providing for us. I mean, for having purpose in the things He allows in our life, for protecting us through those things that He allows. And not only that, but for providing for us all along the way. Well, what a wonderful God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
So many times, I was thinking about a storm that I drove through. Actually, I was passing through, going through Illinois and Missouri and into Kansas. And on the way there, my car broke down in the St. Louis area. And so I'm there in the St. Louis area, and I called the preacher where I'm going to in Kansas, and he says, man, we've got a meeting tonight, and this we wouldn't be able to come over and get you until tomorrow morning. Is there a hotel that you can stay in? And I said, well, you know, when I got off the expressway up there, and it's about a mile back to the expressway, I said, there's a motel up there, I know. And he said, well, go ahead and get in that motel up there. And he says, we'll take care of it in the morning. We'll have somebody come over and pick you up and all that. And so I'm walking down the road with my suitcase, walking down the road, and went to this motel, and I walked in, and I wasn't paying no attention as I went in. And I go walking in the motel, and I look, and man, it's the motel lobby's got about as many people as are in here right now. And I wasn't even thinking, you know, but I go walking up, and with my suitcase, walked right up to the desk there, and so I was talking to the lady, and then she looks at me, and she goes, sir, can I help you? I could tell she was a little bit agitated, and I said, yeah, I just looking for a room for the night. And she started laughing at me. And she says, yeah, you and a million other people, too. And I said, excuse me? She said, you're not from here, are you? I said, no, I'm from Michigan. I'm passing through. And she goes, oh. She said, we had a storm blow through here last night. And she said, there's over a million people without power right now. She said, you won't find a motel within 100 miles of this place. Nowhere. So, preacher, I'm scratching my head and thinking, man, okay, well, thank you anyway. I walk out and I start praying, Lord, what's this all about? You know, man, I never slept underneath an underpass on an expressway, but maybe tonight will be the night that I return. And I'm not too proud to do that. What do I got to do, you know? But I'm praying, I said, Lord, this is really what you want. I called the guy up again, and they're in the middle of the meeting, so I can't even get a hold of him. And so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm supposed to do everything that I'm supposed to do, and just trust God for the rest. So you know what? Maybe if I got a phone book and just start making some phone calls. So I go back across the street to that motel. And this time when I walk across, I begin to realize, man, there's cars parked. The parking lot is packed full. There's cars parked behind cars and all that, you know. And so I go in, and just as I walk in to go in and ask them for a phone book, the lady that I talked with saw me, and across the way she hollers. I mean, the place is packed. She's hollering. She said, sir, come here a minute. And so I go walking up there. I said, yeah, yes, ma'am. And she goes, sir, come here. She said, you know, my manager wants to talk to you. And I said, okay. And so she took me around the corner there, and this lady manager comes around. And she said, sir. She said, the receptionist told me that you're from out of town. You're passing through. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, she said, would you like it if I could try to set you up in a room that's a conference room to stay in? And I said, I don't care what kind of room it is. It doesn't matter to me, man. And she said, well, she said, you know what? I've got a conference room that I could put a bed in. I can bring a TV in there if you want a TV. I can do whatever you want. And then tomorrow morning, when people start checking out and everything, I'll get you a bathroom where you go shower and all that. And I said, man, that'd be wonderful. And I said, how much? And she goes, oh, no, I'm going to charge you. Preacher, I looked at my shoulder and I looked at all that crowd of people that people lay on the couches and people, and I'm not any better than anybody else, but I'm thinking, what a God that knows what you're going through and provides in the middle of the storms of our life that we go through. Amen.
Amen.
Man, when the storms of life come, don't get upset. Thank God in the storm. Whatever it is that comes your way, He's got a purpose in it. Whatever it is that comes your way, man, He's the one that's going to protect you through it. Whatever it is that comes your way, He's the one that is going to do the providing for you. Amen. And I can share story after story after story after story. I'll share one more and then I'll give you the last point. We were in Pennsylvania and we were traveling. We were going to head to a meeting that we had in New York. And I told my wife, I want to get up early in the morning and I'm going to go over to Walmart and get an oil change done because we need an oil change. And our car was a little bit older and it was a van. But I said, I need to get this oil change done before we travel all the way across Pennsylvania to get to New York. And so I go over there and I take it in and they do the oil change, but they call me back and they said, sure, you need to get some tires on this vehicle. And I said, what? And then, you need to get some tires. I said, well, I know, but it was June and it's summertime. And I said, I think I'll be all right. And he goes, oh, no, you're not going to be all right, sir. Come here and look at this. And he took me, and I had steel belts sticking out the sides of the tires. On outside and on the insides. And he said, sir, you've got to have some tires right away. I said, well, can you give me an estimate? We didn't have any money. I said, can you give me? He said, sure. So he gives me an estimate and types it up. It's like $430. And I said, okay. I said, well, he said, do you want to support mine? I said, no, sorry, I don't have the money. I said, I just need an estimate so I can pray about it. And he looked at me like I was goofy or something, you know. And so I took that estimate. I went back home. I went back. And I told him, I said, well, I get right to New York today. He said, yeah, I'm going to make it to New York. I said, well, I said, I'll just have to trust the Lord for it. He's put me strange again. So I went to the motel, picked the wife and kids up, and I said, you know, I said, we've got to have some tires. I said, here's the amount that we need for those tires. This guy warned me we're going to have a blowout, the car can spin out and kill all of us, and God knows what we need, so we just need to pray and ask the Lord to help us to get these tires. We bowed our heads and we prayed, the kids prayed, and we prayed, and I think it was just the two girls in it. And so we got there that night and preached that night when we got there, and the next morning I got up and I went out jogging and went down the road, and I had my phone with me and had my pocket and jogged down the road, and I'm praying. Spent some time with the Lord, and I just got through praying and asking Him, you know, to take care of the need that we had. And you know about it, Lord. And I'm jogging on my way back, and my phone rings, and I pick my phone up and look out. And it's a guy that I know in a church down in Texas. And so I answer it, and I said, his name's Gary. And I said, hey, Brother Gary, how you doing? And he said, man, I'm doing wonderful, Brother Dan. God's been so good to me. And I said, well, praise the Lord, man. And he said, you know what? God's been so good to me that God told me I'm supposed to call you this morning to find out what need you have. God's fine with me. And I almost broke down and started crying right there. I said, sir, I said, you don't have any idea. I said, I need four tires on my car real bad. He said, where can I send it to? He said, I'll put it back. How much you need, I'll send it to you right away.
Amen.
We got our tires fixed the next day.
Amen.
Now you tell me there's not a God that wants to provide for you, even in the storms of life, if we keep our eyes on Him.
Amen.
Don't get your eyes off the Lord in the middle of the storm. Keep your eyes focused on Him.
Amen.
And the last thing is simply this. Look at Isaiah 43, and real quick. Isaiah 43. And I'm going to have you turn here and one other place. Isaiah 43. And here's what it says in verse number 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. You know what? You say, well, Brother Martin, that's Old Testament, and he's talking to Israel, he's talking to Judah. And yes, I know that's national Israel that he's talking with, but the day that you and I got saved and born again, we became a part of God's family also.
Amen.
We can claim that verse just as much as they can claim that verse also. What? That He is our God. He is our Savior. He's going to protect us no matter what we go through. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want you to think about this, and the last thing I'm going to say is simply thank God for His promise in the center.
Amen.
That's His promise. That whatever it is that we go through, He is going to take care of us. Whether it be the floods, whether it be the fire, whether it be whatever it is, God is going to take care of us. He gives us that promise. He gave us that promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can bank on one thing. If you're saved, born again, a child of God tonight, God is not leaving you in the storm, in the midst of the storm. He's right there. Look to Genesis chapter 9, and I close with this. This is a simple but powerful little thought here. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number... look at verse number 8. This is the story about after the flood and after God destroyed the world by flood and the promise that He gave to Noah. This is His promise. God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your seed after you, with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, that I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God has said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The token of the covenant, of the promise of God with Noah, with all living flesh, with all mankind, is the promise. It was the bow, the rainbow. Boy, all of us know that the rainbow is one of the most beautiful things of all of God's creation. It's said that the rainbow is made up of every color of light. Every color is in it. We see the hues of the deeper hues of the colors that we know, but every color of light is in the rainbow. It says it's actually refracted rays of light on the opposite side of where the sun is shining. And again, the rainbow is one of the most beautiful things that we behold, but can I remind you that the beauty of the rainbow is only made possible because of the stars. Without the storm, there'd be no rainbow. Without the storm, there'd be no beautiful rainbow that we'd be able to see. And so too with you and I. What do you mean by that, Brother Martin? The beauty of our life comes through when we just trust God and make it through storms. That's when the real beauty comes out of this. When we simply trust Him and believe Him. Think about Joseph. Think about Joseph and what his brothers did to him. Think about the trial that he had to go through. Think about all those years and being in Egypt and all that. And then you know the story and how his brothers came back, and then he showed himself to his brothers and all that. But at the very end of the book, when Jacob had died and everything, and when the boys come to him, they were scared to death that he was going to kill them now because of what they had done. And he looked at him and he said, Wait a minute. You meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. You know, he said, hey, back there in chapter 46, I believe, he said, no, this wasn't you, this was God. You know, you thought you did this to me, but guess what? It wasn't you, it was God. God did this. God allowed this thing to happen. Well, if we could just get to the place where we could act just like Joseph there, and just whenever the storms come in our life, realize and understand that God has a purpose.
Amen.
God has a plan. And God is the one who will protect us, and He's the one who provides for us. He's the one who promised us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, what is it that you're going through right now? I mean, I know there's some things going on with the church, but what are you going through in your life personally? What is it that you're struggling about? What storm is coming into your life that you're having a real struggle with? Let me tell you, the greatest way for you to approach it is thank God for the storm. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't you? A lot of you never ain't ever going to figure them all out. No, you just keep doing the right thing. You just keep on trusting God and let God be with you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask you a couple questions tonight. How many would be honest enough to say, but Martin, I tell you, I've been going through some storms in my life. There's been some struggles and some battles and some trials that I've been going through. And man, I need that tonight just to be reminded that boy, my job is just to thank God and to keep my eyes on Him through what I'm going through. And you slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. You pray for me, slip a hand up. I see those hands. I see each and every one. Many hands all across the crowd. I know that the church has got a little issue going on. Listen, this is nothing. This is nothing for God. Nothing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. Let me ask you the most important question in life. Are you 100% sure if you were to die tonight that you would have the Lord? That is the most important thing in life. Beyond anything else. Nothing else really matters. You're going to stand before an almighty God one day. Do you know for sure that you're going to be in heaven? If you could say, Brother Martin, I know that for sure. Would you slip your hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I don't have a doubt one about that. I know beyond any shadow of doubt, if I were to die right now, I would be in heaven. Don't have any doubt. Those hands. You can put your hands down. Maybe there'd be one that say, Brother Martin, I still don't have that assurance. I'm still not sure about that. But I sure would like to know. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up real quick and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I see that hand. Anybody else? Brother Martin, would you pray for me? I'm still not sure about this, but I want to know. I want to know I'll be in heaven one day. Anybody else? Just slip a hand up. I'll pray for you in just a moment here. Let's stand our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to pray for you. The altar's open. And don't stay in your seat tonight. And God spoke to you. Come to the altar and pour your heart out to the Lord this evening. And the one that raised your hand, not sure you're saved. Why don't you come take the preacher's hand? And right away, as I begin to pray, that we'll make sure that somebody will take the truth of the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you're His child. Father, I pray that you would bless this altar time. Lord, you saw the hands across the crowd. Lord, I wouldn't doubt it was 80% of the crowd raised their hands, going through storms and struggles and battles. Lord, it's no wonder that you're helping the church to move forward and grow, because that's usually what happens in the storms and trials if we keep our eyes on you. Lord, I do pray that you help each and every one that did raise a hand. Give them the victory as they look to you in the storm. Help them remember that you're always there for them. Lord, help them remember you never leave them or forsake them. Help them remember that you're the one that will be their protector and their provider. God, you do have a purpose in it. Help the one to raise their hand, not sure about salvation. Lord, help them to come to you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Musician, please, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? God spoke to your heart, why don't you come?
Raise your hand. pray. Trust God through this. Brother,